That song is the idea of you never give up. Amen. Does that little girl want to go upstairs? Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Father, I truly do thank you for all those who came out tonight to sit at your table, to be fed fresh manna from heaven, to be renewed, restored, revived. I thank you for your angelic host that's walking to and fro throughout this building, Father, touching each and every person sitting here. Father God, continue to work on your people tonight and bring them to that place of security in you. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read a prophetic word that God gave me first. God said, get ready for the greatest onslaught of immorality the world has ever known. Nothing like it has ever been, and there will never be anything like it in the future. But right now, it is overwhelming and growing stronger and stronger. The sex mongrel spirits have been released in unprecedented force to overtake my people of faith, and it must be stopped. Daughter, teach my people how to stay morally clean and pure. Teach them continually what the cost of sin will do to them. This world has caved into perversion as never before. Both men and women and even children are now subject to this sex mongrel spirit. Teach, little one, teach. At all costs, teach my children to serve me with gladness of heart and to shun all manner of evil. The bride is so tainted, and there is no way she is ready to come home with me. She must be cleansed, she must be purified, and she must have knowledge of the evil one's tactics. So the sex mongrel spirit has been released. Immorality is at its highest peak right now. You are going to have to start taking control of your thought life. You are going to have to start taking control of everything you look at, everything you listen to. Because right here, God told me that the sex mongrels have been released. Sex mongrel spirits. You know, when God tells me something like this, something bad always follows it. Now, it's up to us parents to make sure that our children are covered at all cost. It's up to us as parents that we don't allow our children to look at things they should not be looking at. No matter what they say or what they do, we are not allowed to let them look at things that eyes should never see. Grown up and children alike. A lot of this here immorality comes from parents doing their thing and allowing their children to do their thing, and they are not supervised, so therefore they're into things they should not be into. So I believe this with all my being that it goes back to the parents. And what kind of a parent are you really? Are you there for your children, monitoring them all the time, or are you out somewhere by yourself, you know, doing your thing, allowing your children to be home by themselves? You know? That's what it all boils down to. And you should never let a child in a room all by themselves, the door locked. Because you know in there they're doing something they should not be doing. And I found out you don't let a child get on your computer either while you're sidetracked with something else, because they get into stuff on there they should not get into. You know, it just takes one look and that spirit's in you. And then he starts working and he never stops until you stop him. There's so many things that God wants us to do. Yeah, I didn't read the whole prophetic word. I cut out a lot of stuff because he's telling me how to teach and everything. But I put in there the spice of the word that the onslaught of immorality the world has ever known is upon us. And if you really look at what's going on around about you, if you really listen to anything that's on your computer or on your TV set, you know that immorality is at its highest. I cannot believe the stuff that goes on in the schools. I can't believe the children sneak behind dumpsters to have sex in the middle of the day. Now, come on, you know. I just can't believe the things that's going on. Kids that sit in the house of God, their minds are warped and twisted, and they've been taught differently, but they have chosen to go the way of Baal, and that's going to get you in a whole lot of trouble. A lot of you sitting in here tonight, you've been freed from that spirit, and you know how much trouble it got you into. You know? And so I'm not judging, I'm not condemning, I'm just saying it's time that somebody breaks the cycle of immorality. And it has to begin in your home, with the parents. And you parents have got to get yourself cleaned up so that you aren't knocking your kids half on the head and blaming them for things that you yourself are doing. And that goes on a lot. The parents are in immorality, but yet they're judging their children, and you cannot correct your children in the right manner if you yourself are bound up sexually. You can't. Because your anger at yourself for being sexually bound up, you'll pour out onto your children. So let's get this together. I had a pastor tell me years ago, she's gone now, but she said, what I do in my bedroom is my business. No, it's God's business. And God teaches us how we should react and act as children of God. Amen. All right, tonight I want to talk about joy. I want to thank you for coming out tonight. The enemy's trying to steal our joy. The enemy's coming at us at every angle. And if we aren't watchful, he's going to take us out. You can't be watchful 1 second and then for the next 10 hours be unwatchful. You have to be watchful 100% of the time, constantly watching what the enemy's trying to throw at you. Amen? For some time now, many of us have been going through an intense purging through a wilderness experience where the heat has almost been unbearable. If you say amen, it brings the angels in. Remember, amen. I'll repeat that so you really get that in your spirit. For some time now, many of us have been going through an intense purging through a wilderness experience where the heat has almost been unbearable. Now, before I go any further, I have to let you know that even though we're talking on joy, and even though we have the joy of the Lord, that does not mean the enemy is not going to fight you. That just means he's going to fight you all the more because he knows your joy of the Lord is your strength, and if he can take your joy, he has you. And I've been talking to a lot of people, and the enemy's been fighting on every side, as hard as he can possibly fight, and he's doing that to take you out. You know, come on, if you're saved, you're saved. You're sanctified, you feel the Holy Spirit. He's going to attack you. He's going to come at you. And he's going to keep driving and driving and driving until he has you. You need to take his car keys away from him. Amen. And he no longer can drive. You're in the driver's seat, not the enemy. All right, some of the body of Christ has built strongholds all around them. There are walls around us from all the emotional hurts. Come on. Rejections and heart pains have taught us how to fortify our hearts to protect and guard it against all that would come our way. We have made ourselves strong by building the wall with our own hands. And every time we went through the suffering and heart pains, the wall became bigger and stronger. So many people that come up here for prayer, they're standing here, they can't receive anything from the Lord. And God always tells me they're so full of pain, they cannot receive my anointing. But that strength, all right, and every time we went through the suffering and heart pains, the wall became bigger and stronger. But that strength was made within us rather than allowing God to be that strength in our weakness. Rather than allowing God to be our strength and our weakness, we built walls. I built walls, you know, and God had to tear them down. I believe everybody in here, sometime in your life, you have built walls because you were so tired of being hurt and you didn't want to endure any more pain. He put up those walls and said, you can come this far and you can't come any further, because if you come any further, then you're going to touch me and you're not going to touch me and hurt me again because I've had enough of that. But remember when I got born again, God said that you had to let me tear down those walls because I can't use you if your heart is not exposed. So you're always going to be misunderstood. Your heart, because your heart's out there, it's exposed, and it's exposed to be hurt. So get that in your mind tonight, in your spirit, that if you're going to work for God, then your heart has to be exposed. People are going to misunderstand you. You're going to misunderstand other people. And one of you girls, Alyssa, give me a Kelly, whatever, give me that shoe, please. They found me a man's shoe. All right, now here's a man's shoe. I don't want anybody to be offended anymore. Here's the shoes. Men, there it is. If the shoe fits, put it on. Women, there it is. If the shoe fits, put it on. And if I'm not talking to you, then just leave the shoes alone. If the shoe fits, you put it on. You say, God, it's awful tight. And I want you to go ahead and clean me up of this area that I won't be offended anymore. So the time has come and God is tearing down all those defenses and walls that we have carefully built with our own hands. The time has come to reveal all our life wounds and scars. Listen to this. The time has come to reveal all our life wounds and scars, to become completely open and vulnerable to God. And out of those ashes of brokenness, there is a new spirit arising, totally and completely belonging to God. You can get there, saints. You really can. The fire of holiness is raging. The winds of change are blowing, gathering the ashes as the offering so that the new man can be formed and the glory of the Lord will be able to reside and fill the temple. Let's read this again. Why is God tearing down these walls? The fire of holiness is raging. The winds of change are blowing, gathering the ashes as the offering. Why? So that the new man can be formed and the glory of the Lord will be able to reside and fill the temple. See, unless you let God get all the junk out of you and let yourself become a brand new man, God cannot pour his glory into you. It would kill you. It would destroy you. So you have to allow God to get in there and purge you and just cleanse you. And I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how often he says, give yourself to me. You have to allow him to come in and take everything out of you that's not of him. And while he's doing that, please do not walk under condemnation. You know, we've all been messed up. And God had to purge us all. So none of us sitting here tonight are any better than the other. We've all made mistakes. We've all made excuses. And every one of us has to go through that purging. All right, I said there is the time and the place in God where each one of us will have to expose ourselves, unlock and open up all the hidden passageways that lead to the center of our heart. Why? So that the healing waters can flow and the restoration can take place. To make this process easier, God has sent his joy into the house of the Lord. That's why he's been having us dance and sing and really have a good time, because he wants the joy of the Lord to bubble up inside of us. And then the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then the enemy won't be able to take us out. How many of you sitting in here tonight, what did I say? I said, there is a time and place in God where each one of us will have to expose ourselves, unlock and open up all the hidden passageways that lead to the center of our heart. Why? So that the healing waters can flow and the restoration can take place. How many of us in here tonight, something's been spoken over the pulpit and something stabs at you and you say, that's me. God, that's me. I'm just giving this thing to you. He exposed it. I'm giving this to you, Father. You take it. You cleanse me. You make me brand new. Amen. Instead of you saying, you know, well, they're always preaching condemnation. No, we're not. When God hits that thing inside of you that's not of him, then you need to let go, give it to God and let go of it so that you can go on and do the great and mighty things that God would have you to do. Nehemiah 8:10 says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portion to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We need to be that person that can stand in the midst of the worst trials and tribulations that life can throw. And we need to have the joy of the Lord so that others can see that you can withstand everything that Satan sends your way. Amen. We have to be a witness of that. We have to be somebody that goes out there and people know, boy, they're going through the worst hell in the world. But here they are. They have the joy of the Lord in them. They're singing, they're praising, and they're just rejoicing, and they're just acting like nothing is going on. But that we, you know, the fire is raging around about. You know, and you're going to have to work at keeping that joy. You really are. I've got my joy back, but God didn't just zap me and give it to me. I had to work hard. I had to labor. I had to tell the enemy, you're finished. I'm going to get my joy back. You're not going to steal my strength any longer. And the day that my strength came back, I felt good. I've been feeling good ever since because the joy of the Lord bubbled up inside of me. But I had to make that effort. I had to fight day and night. I had to, you know, pray all night long sometimes. And I had to really fight the enemy to restore my joy. Everybody just wants God to zap down and zoom down and zap things out of you. It doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. You have to do the work. You know, if you've done things you were ashamed of, that's, you know, you've done them. They're over with. You cannot take them back. Just say, devil, I'm going on. My God said he forgives me. My God said I'm a child of God, and I'm going on. And you're not going to make me feel guilty and walk under condemnation. I'm going to get the joy of the Lord, and I'm going on as if I had never, ever sinned. And if people say, well, who do they think they are? Look at them walking around like they're all holding that. Hey, don't let them bother you. You know what you did. You know that God took it and threw it in the sea of forgiveness. You know you're free from it, and you're not going to walk under any condemnation. No more guilt. You're free. And when you're free, whom the Son says free is free indeed. And then the joy of the Lord will truly bubble up inside of you, and you can go forth no matter what's going on. Somebody could stand and cuss you to your face every day, every single solitary day. They could smack you around a little bit every single solitary day. But the joy of the Lord that's deep down inside, they can't steal that. Because my word tells me that God knows everything I'm going to go through. And he said he's always with me no matter what I go through. So if somebody's popping me a good one, he's standing right there and he sees that. And if he so desires not to stop that, then I got to let my joy just come right on up. Are you listening? See, we really don't walk out what the word of God tells us. We don't live it. And therefore, we can't bring anybody else in the house of God because we're still walking like we're in the world. All right. Joy is just a breath away. God has spoken and said, if my people would only breathe in my joy, the enemy would never be able to touch them ever again. Come on. It is his joy that keeps his people going. It is his joy that gives them breath. It is his joy that far supersedes all others. It is his joy that is going to see all his people through these troubling times that loom ahead because of the darkness in the world. It's his joy. His joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The devil can't steal God's joy. So why does he steal ours all the time? We go around saying, Jesus lives inside of me, right? I have all power and authority because Jesus is inside of me. If Jesus is in there, then the joy is in there, right? Because the joy is in Jesus. I think we lie whenever we say that. We walk around, our faces droop down, you know, and we get all upset and we carry on. And we all make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes until Jesus Christ comes. He knows that we're not perfect. We're not perfect. But we all know that we're going to be misunderstood. So why do we allow the enemy to steal our joy? It says right in the book, you know, the Bible, that we're going to go through these things. But yet still the enemy keeps coming and stealing our joy over and over and over again. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We must proclaim this to all the churches. We must proclaim it from the mountaintops. All right, let's just say you're working at a job site and the people treat you awful. But you go into work every day. Hi, everybody. How are you? Good morning. You know, and you have a smile on your face. And it's a true smile. It's not one pasted there. And your inside are just all bubbling up with joy. And you just treat everybody just like they're just treating you wonderful. And they're going to say she's nuts or he's nuts, you know. But you're not. It's the joy of the Lord that's inside. And you don't care how they're treating you. You just don't care how they treat you. Because it's how God's treating you. And if you know that God loves you and he's for you, not against you, and he's with you in every trial and tribulation, then what do you care what people do? Amen? And let's face it, some of your coworkers are mean, and they're bad, and they're worldly. But see, you're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be smiling, you know, and happy because you have the joy of the Lord deep down inside of you. Some of us have spouses that aren't very nice to be around, right? Some of us have children that's not very nice to be around. Do we allow them to steal our joy? Nope. You say no. You say quietly to yourself, nuh-uh, devil, you're not stealing my joy. You might have them acting up, but I'm not going to act up alongside of them. I'm going to walk around here and just act like I am. I am a child of God. I no longer fear. Isn't that what we're just saying? I am a child of God. And so therefore, devil, you cannot steal from me any longer. God spoke to me last night and told me he's going to make the devil return 100-fold what he stole from his children. We should be excited just because of that. Amen? We really should be. And I was reading where the year 5777, 577, yeah, 3 sevens, is the great year of Jubilee. It's the axe head year where God is going to restore everything back to us. See, the problem is the body of Christ does not believe God. They don't believe God's prophets. They don't believe his word. And therefore, they can't receive everything. And as long as you allow the enemy to keep stealing this stuff from you, you're never going to receive your rightful inheritance in Christ. I'm still believing that God's going to make Larry, what was it, a billionaire or something like that. I'm still believing that. And he was prophesied that 16 years ago. I'm still believing it because he said, this is the year that it's going to happen. Will you please hurry up? I need to get my debts out of the way. You know, come on, come on. I'm counting on him getting blessed so I can get blessed too, right? So he didn't promise me that. He promised you. That's your job. Make sure you see that come to pass, right? Amen. He just told me I was going to be debt free and we're going to have more than enough. Amen. So what is? Yeah. See why? So why can't we be happy even whenever they're hounding you to death about your bills? Yeah. The days come when I'm going to go up here and rub this money right in your nose. I'm going to pay this bill off and just let you know that my God is able, right? Somebody need to hear that because that's all from God. All right, God is saying that his people must enter into the joy of the Lord if they are to overcome in the hour of great darkness. God is saying that his people must enter into the joy of the Lord if they are to overcome in the hour of great darkness. See that? God spoke and said that the enemy came and stole all their joy. That's what he told me when he said, daughter, until you get back your joy, you're never going to have anything. You allowed the enemy to come and steal your joy. So each one of you in here that lost your joy, you allowed that. Come on. So that's why I had to work at getting it back. God spoke and said the enemy came and stole all their joy. He came and stole all that God has given them. But this is the day and this is the hour for his people to rise up and count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Come on. No matter what you're going through, how many times I say to him, God, I'm counting this all joy. And I make myself count it all joy because the enemy is all around you. I'm talking about your family. They're all around you. They're all doing things to try to steal your joy. And I have to say, God, I'm counting this all joy because you knew this was going to happen. And you told me not to let the enemy steal my joy any longer. So I'm not allowing him to do that. Amen. Come on. We have to do this, guys. Everything that we go through should be counted as joy. That's really hard to do sometimes. But we have to do it. But we have to get to that place. We have to get to that place. Question. Didn't Paul and Silas count it all joy? Let's look at James 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I'm telling you that tonight. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The reason why Sister Nancy Willis goes through so much is she doesn't have patience. And see, until she gets patience, she's going to keep getting tested, right, Sister Nancy? She told me that one time. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You know, there's some things in life, and this just happened to me recently, that you have to have wisdom in how to handle things. And if you get in there and God said, you go in there, you don't stop and think anything, just go in there and do. He said, you need to stop and think and get and ask me for wisdom so that you don't goof up. Amen. But let him ask in faith and no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So if you're doubting, you're not going to receive from the God. Right there it is in the word. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If you have any doubt whatsoever, you are a double-minded man and you are unstable in everything that you do. Psalm 34:19 says, our Father is saying, true, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I deliver them out of them all. We have many afflictions, but God delivers us out of them all. You can't deliver yourself out of them. How many times have I served this pulpit? You are not God. You are not Jesus. You're not the Holy Spirit. And if God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus hasn't been able to accomplish something in a person's life, what makes you think you can? Every time you keep driving at a person, keep hounding and hounding, you're trying to be God. And God told me that one time. He said, nothing will ever happen. You have to turn that person over to me, clean your hands, walk away, and let me do the works that has to be done in that person. Because only God, knows what that person has to go through in order to be the vessel that God can use. But we think we're God and we're always trying to make that person do what we think they should do. Or maybe they shouldn't be doing what you think they should do. You know? If this is true then, you know, God delivers you out of all your afflictions. If this is true then, God's joy should be forever on your hearts. And then proceed out onto your lips and then spread throughout the land. Some of you walking here. You know, you look like you just ate a big dill pickle before you walk through the door. I wonder why we don't get any visitors. Well, they look at you, you walk through the door. They don't want to come back again because you don't have no joy, and they need joy because the world is not happy. Why do you think alcohol and drugs are so prominent? It's prevalent. It's because they're looking for happiness and they're looking for it in all the wrong places. But they don't want to come in the house of God because there's no happiness there either. Come on. So I'm hearing God say, spread the joy abroad. Get the joy deep down inside you, then spread it abroad. In other words, share it. All right, I don't know where I'm at. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse circumstances. Count it all joy when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's hard, but you can do it. Because it is then that the joy kicks in and you kick the adversary out of your life forever. Joy, joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. God's church must be full of joy unspeakable if it is to overcome in these last days. I can't believe how many people cannot stand our joyful songs that we sing. They sit there and you would think that I don't know what you would think, but I can't believe that people would sit here and be prunes when the joy of the Lord is being all through the atmosphere. They say it's my problem because I play those songs. I say it's your problem because you can't sing those songs. You can't receive the joy from those songs. Well, it's too loud. It's too this. It's too that. It's too the other. You know, no, you've got the whole problem. And God even told me about somebody, the devil has stolen their joy. And then 2 days later, after I heard a conversation, the devil had really stolen their joy. And they can't receive anything from God that's happy. They don't want a happy song. I'm not going to sit here and sing in the sweet by and by. I'm not going to do that. You know. That is not where we're at. We're not in the sweet by and by. We are in today. We are in reality. And we are in here where the enemy is attacking as hard as he can attack. And if we don't get the joy of the Lord, then we are going under. We're not going over. Why do you think God is causing the stirring in our hearts to sing the joyful songs? God wants his people full of his joy. Remember, he said, it's party time. And you, when you're partying, you forget about all your problems, don't you? But see what happens when you leave the church, then you pick him back. There the devil is. Here's your bag you left out here when you went in there. And you pick that bag up and take it on home, and you forgot all about how joyful you were and it was in the house of God. I know that's right. And we need to stop that. We need to have a little trash can out there, then, and everybody put their bag in there, and then one of the ushers can take the bag and take the trash can away, and they have nothing to pick up when they leave. Amen? And he wants his people to be overcomers in this end time hour. Defeat is not in God's category. Defeat is not a word that God proclaimed. Defeat is of the enemy. All God ever proclaimed was victory on all sides. Come on. Question. When will God's people truly take a good look at his son and all his other servants in his word and see that they came through every trial victoriously? When? You know, some of you guys, you're just like me. God talked to you. He sent you on assignment. You were so happy. But the first little thing that went wrong, you said, God, did you really know what you were doing? This is really hard. They're really ignorant. They're really the unlovable ones. They're really hard to live with. But you were all excited whenever there was excitement in the air and you and God were talking about it. And now all of a sudden you're just all disgruntled. You don't want to complete your assignment. God didn't say it was all going to be a bed of roses. He didn't tell you that. I even said to him, I said, God, why didn't you tell me this is what I was going to have to go through? He said, if I would have, you would have never taken the assignment. He said, I did tell you, though, live one day at a time. And if you want to be married to somebody, try your patience. You should be married to Brother Larry there. He tried my patience. And I said, God, I even said to him one day, I said, God, strike him dead. And he said, oh, there you go. I forgot what he called me, you know. But God knew that he had to be cleaned up. And so he gave me an assignment. And it was a hard one. But God was in it all. Do you understand this? There was many days I forgot to count it all joy. I just wanted to smack him real good in the head with something, you know, and get rid of him. And see, that wasn't godly. I should have went to a corner somewhere and kicked it and said, God, what do you think you're doing here now? You know, and I should have kept my joy, but I didn't. I'm being honest. I did not. And he'll be glad to tell you she did not. Amen. Still going on today with my family. God told me, he sat down and tells me right from beginning to end and everything in between how it's going to work out. And it's working out like he says it is. And for a season there, I still lost my joy. But I say, I even tell Brother Lee, nope, I'm not going to talk about it because I know how it's going to end up. And I don't care what's going on today. I know the end. Amen. I'm just going to keep my joy. And I do. So what are you going to do? Keep your joy. The time is growing short and God's people truly do need to be on the lookout for the enemy. We must understand that the enemy is sly and he is cunning. I don't think you all know that. He is sly and he is cunning, but he is not all powerful. He is not all powerful. You remember I told you I've talked to the devil face to face for at least three times. And each time after it ended his conversation, I'll kill you. I said, no, you won't. Well, the first conversation, I laughed at him because I knew he couldn't do nothing he was telling me he was going to do. But by the end of that, the end of the thing he was telling me he was going to do, he did everything he said. I didn't laugh at him no more. I would say to him, oh, you might be able to do all that, but you can't kill me. I still am going to be the victorious one. And now he doesn't do those things to me anymore because I found out he could do what he said because God allowed him to. You know, you should feel privileged when you're being attacked by the enemy because what happened was the enemy went before the throne of God and asked for you. He said, I'll prove to you. Isn't that what he did with Job? Because this is what God, how God explained it to me. I'll prove to you that if I put you, you give them to me, they'll quit serving you. And then now you're tested. And you don't come through the tests too well sometimes. They're hard. They're very difficult. But you're being tested and tried every day of your life because the enemy is not going to give up on you. Early on when I was first born again, I said, God, what is going on? He said, you're in a tug of war. I have one arm and the enemy has the other arm. And we're both vying for your soul. It's up to you which one of us wins. So if you didn't win, it's because, you know, if Jesus didn't win, it's because you gave in to Satan. Come on. You need to take the blame where the blame lies. It's not God's. It's never God's fault. You're the one who has to make the decisions which way you're going to go. If you decide to stay with a spouse that's a mess, then take your licks and go on. What I'm saying is take your licks and have the joy of the Lord while you're taking your licks. Because God, if God promised you he's going to straighten them out, he's going to promise you to straighten them out. And he told me you have to live one day at a time. He said, because every day you're going to have more than you can handle. So I live one day at a time. He said, tomorrow will take care of itself. How do you live? You know? God is calling us to take his sword and cut the enemy to pieces. God's sword is his word. God's sword is his son. God's sword is his great revelation knowledge that he has given to his people. Take up your sword this night and wield it and use it wisely. Don't stand there and say, nah, 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 nah. No, to the devil. You don't do that. You're not a child. You're a warrior. You take up the sword of God and you use it properly. And you use it with wisdom. Right? Come on. Tonight we must understand that God is not where the world is at. And he definitely is not where the church is at. God wants us to allow him to speak his heart to our heart, to our heart, and allow him to make us more than an overcomer in his kingdom authority. Let's read that again. Tonight we must understand that God is not where the world is at, and he definitely is not where the church is at. God wants us to allow him to speak his heart to our heart and allow him to make us more than an overcomer in his kingdom authority. Tonight, God is calling us to take heart and take peace and proceed into his glorious inheritance that he has placed before our feet, even this hour. I'm going to stop there because I read something about the election. And, you know, somebody said that God spoke to them and said, if my people still want a king, I will give them a king. Remember whenever our president now was in office, God told me whenever before the election, when he was elected, he said, my people want a king and I'm going to give them a king. And you know what a king does. You know, that scripture where they wanted Saul and not God. And you saw what Saul did to the people. Well, this person got a prophetic word from God saying, if they still want a king, I'll give them a king. Now, there's some word going around out there that, you know, Russia's about ready to start World War III. And God's told me 15 years ago that there would be a World War III. And they say that it's going to start in end of October, and that'll affect the election in November. Now, you know, if we really want somebody in office, if God wants an office, then we need to be praying like we've never prayed before. We just can't sit idly by and say, well, whoever gets in there gets in there. And if it's a king, then we'll have a king and we'll go through more trial. No, we need to be on our face praying before God for this election and allow God to put the person in there that he wants in there. Amen. I've heard Christians say, I'm not even going to go vote because nobody's worth voting for. Well, I know the one I don't want in there. So I better go vote for the other one, right? Come on. Now that is dumb thinking. And that's the reason why the world is the way it is today, is because the church has sat down and not done their job. Let the other guy do it. Well, we saw what the other guy did. Took prayer out of school, took everything out of schools, you know, and they let the devil bring all of his stuff into school, brought immorality everywhere. We see what the devil did while we sat down and did nothing. Psalm 51:12 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. You should be saying that to God right now. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me in your generous spirit. And Isaiah 35 says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy in their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. In other words, we should be coming, returning back to the Lord with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We should be the one out there singing and dancing and bebopping, you know, and having a joy of the Lord, and let the world look at us and see that it is worth serving the Father. Amen. Isaiah 41:11, behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. See that? They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. See what God's saying? You really don't have no enemies. That, you know, God, they're God's enemies, and he's going to take care of you so you can have joy. You know what I say that the people keep coming against me? I said, you really don't know what you're doing, because I am the apple of God's eye, and you just poked him in the eye, and you're going to have to pay for that, because he told me you would. I make some people really mad when I, but it's the truth. You better quit talking about me, I'll tell some people, because you're getting yourself in deeper hot water than you want to be in. I am a child of God, and I am living the way God wants me living. You're getting yourself in a hole, and I'm not worth all the trouble you're going to get into, I tell them. So why don't you just stop? Amen. And I keep my joy going. Amen. Verse 12 says, you shall seek them and not find them, you and your enemies. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. As we stand in the presence of God's glory and become consumed by his glory, we will get a taste of the joy that is in true life. There is joy in life, guys. You didn't have to have a bottle stuck to your lip to be happy. You don't have to be jabbing a needle in your arm to be happy. Life is just happy. Life is what you make it. I know my family used to tell me, you're too dumb to know that you aren't happy. No. You're too dumb to know to be happy. Amen? Come on. Where am I at? In true life? And true life is only found in God. This joy is your strength. For those who follow God, this joy will not only be there for theirs forever, it will grow forever. We must also remember that the joy of God's presence is the only thing we need to sustain us through what is coming upon the earth. We must also remember that the joy of God's presence is the only thing we need to sustain us through what is coming upon the earth. You will know God's joy, and it will increase in you. It really will. But to do his work on the earth, you must also know his sorrow. Come on. But to do his work on earth, you must also know his sorrow. Whenever you got born again, you did not jump into a rose garden. I believe you jumped into a thistle patch, right? With a whole lot of long thorns in it. But if you were like me, I just thought when I got born again and got into a spirit-filled church, I was just going to be the happiest. I was happier before I got born again. Tell you the truth. I always went to church, but once I became born again and got into spirit-filled circles, I couldn't believe the mess that was going on there. But still in all, we count it all joy, right? Somebody has to keep their joy. Somebody has to spread it. Tonight, God is asking us to pick up his joy and stay close to the rock that the honey flows out of. That's Jesus. And if we will do this, we will see many signs, wonders, and miracles pour out upon the land. God's told me just last night, it is time for signs, wonders, and miracles to start being poured out. He said, my children need to know how to be happy. We need to know how to be happy. I see a lot of, you know, I know a lot of people walk around, you know, their eyes are all bloodshot, and they're walking around like they're in another world, and they're laughing and going on. They don't know they're even existing. They're not children of God. Well, they're backsliders, but here I am, a child of God, and I'm walking around with a pickle face. Now, come on. Why do they want what I have? At least they can be in oblivion somewhere and be laughing. Amen. Even though it's killing them. The rock is flowing with milk and honey, but few are drinking and eating of the manna that God is supplying at this given time. We have come into an hour when God is going to walk with us in the cool of the evening. Now, you know, how long have we been partying now? The balloons and the dancing and the, you know, everything else. How long have we been doing that? Where's your joy? I'm going to set a dynamite stick underneath you and see if that'll blow the joy out of you, right? Come on, blow all that junk out of you and bring the joy of the Lord into you. Come on. God just put the joy of me the other night. We come in here and I was just a dancing. I was having myself a good time. And today the atmosphere was depressive. It had depression in it. And God said to me, he said, I want have love songs tonight. I don't want nothing fast. And so I thought, okay. So, all right, y'all had the slow songs tonight. You know, those of you who didn't like the fast ones. And so I hope that God moved through you tonight, because I don't know what he's going to do Sunday. Amen. All right, where am I at? It will be heart to heart without saying a word. Well, let me go back here and make sense of this. The rock is flowing with milk and honey, but few are drinking and eating of the manna that God is supplying at this given time. We have come into an hour when God is going to walk with us in the cool of the evening. It will be heart to heart without saying a word. God is making his heart our heart. Come on. And we will know before he speaks what he wants done. Come on. We are to take one day at a time, but take each day full of the joy of the Lord, which gives us our strength. Jeremiah 33:10 says, thus says the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, again, of which you say, it is desolate, without man and without beast, in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast. The voice of joy, see that? And the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of praise, into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return, as at the first, says the Lord. He's saying that the joy of the Lord is returning back into his house. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place which is desolate, without man and without beast, and in all its cities, there shall again be a dwelling place of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down. I guess that's why I have the joy. and I'm hoping it's filtering down into you. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowland, in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, the flock shall again pass under the hands of him who counts them, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days Judah will be saved. We're going to be saved. All right. And Jerusalem will dwell safely, and this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. God is restoring the joy of the Lord back into his house. He's restoring that joy because when the people from the streets come in, they're going to need joy. They're messed up. You know, they have no hope. They're desolate. And they need to find joy. Amen. We've taken another person into the house that has a drug addiction. But you know what? I see them coming out of that. And they're starting to, they have a smile on their face now. Why? Because they see what goes on around about us. But yet we all have the joy of the Lord. We are not given in to the negative things that we see. We're not given in to the darkness. So it's given this person hope. Perseverance. If we can do it, they can do it too. And this is what should be happening in each one of your lives. People that you encounter, they should see the joy of the Lord in you. And they should know that the troubles you go through, but you still have the joy of the Lord. You can still serve God with confidence that he's going to be with you and he's going to see you through. They don't want to hear us. Mumbling, moaning. They don't want to hear that. If you need to mumble, moan, and groan, have a sounding board. Call Brother Brett up at 3 o'clock in the morning when he's trying to study. Say, I just need to talk to somebody in here. I'm upset. I'm so glad you called, Pastor. Thank you for calling. He always says that. Thank you for calling. I think he thinks, I wish you wouldn't have called. But he said, thank you for calling. Come on. I know he's up because he writes back and forth on his computer. That's why I call him if I need something. But see, you know what, guys? We all need somebody that we can turn to. We all need somebody that we know that has joy, that will pray for you when things are coming down the pike so quickly you can't understand why they're coming that fast. So if all you have is God, go to God. If all you have is God, go to God. He understands all things. He understands things better than Brett does. Amen. Because he calls me. I said, how dare you call my house at 1:30 in the morning? You're going to wake that baby. I can call him because it doesn't wake his baby. But, you know, I'm sorry, he said, but I have something I have to say. You know, so we laugh about it. You know, we have a good time with it. Why be downtrodden about those things? I want everybody here tonight just to know that you don't have to walk around like you're living in the pits of hell. If you're a born-again child of God, you should be walking around. I don't care how many troubles you have. You should be walking around laughing and singing and having not just putting on a face, but it's reality. It's reality. I have the joy of the Lord. I am happy. I know that God knows all things. He had this all planned out before he ever put me in my mother's womb. And I know he knew everything I was going to go through. And I know that the end is going to be better than the beginning was. And we should have that attitude, because that is the truth. And the truth is going to set you free if you grab hold of it tonight. Amen. Amen. I forgot what I said God wanted. But anyhow, the altar's open. He wants you to have the joy of the Lord. He wants to place his heart in your heart. Isn't that what he said? Yeah, God is making his heart our heart, and we will know before he speak what he wants done. It's going to be a heart to heart without saying a word. We are to take one day at a time, but each day full of the joy of the Lord, which gives us his strength and which gives us our strength. So if you want that joy, that supernatural joy that can only come from, you can't manufacture it. You can't make it happen. I'm going to tell you right now, saints of God, when I lost my joy, it was a mess. But when God gave me, when I had to work hard, but when I got my joy back, nobody's going to steal my joy ever again, because that was too hard of a hill to climb. I went around that mountain so many times, I didn't know if I was ever going to make it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God is passing his joy through you right now. Then that joy is going to make you forget all the heartache and the tears and the shame. And it's going to make you a strong tower that others can run into. So just open up wide and let the joy of the Lord come into you right now. It's the joy, 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 joy unspeakable, joy. Come on, it's the joy. Just raise your hands and receive joy. 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 There's nothing can happen in your life that should steal your joy. It didn't steal Jesus' joy. He knew he had to go to the cross, but he was still joyful. So why do we allow it to steal from us? Amen.